Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have TalkCast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall.com. Oh, at Gmail. Gmail.com. If you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games. FranzGames. And if you want to, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there for the podcast is sfuoncall. That's S-F-U-O-N-C-A-L. You want to follow me on my personal account? That's Paul Franz. Just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. Just a warning, you know, I'm practicing Catholic. I'm proud of my faith. And so you'll hear about that. And, of course, tech stuff also, too. And, of course, I'll be retweeting everything for SFU On Call and other things when it comes to my tertiary account, which is Franz Games. That's my business account. So anything about news, client updates, things like that will be posted there. Also, for those who rather listen on YouTube, I do a YouTube live stream of this podcast. So you can listen and actually you can chat. I will be happy to chat with you on that. So moving on to a quick note from ADB. That the prices for Shapeways will be going up. According to them, they will see approximately a 30% increase on fine detail plastic printings. The color materials are also seeing substantial increase in price. Regretfully, they have to pass those additional costs on to you. So they're not doing it to gouge you or anything. ADB is not doing this. It's Shapeways. I'm assuming they need more money to cover their costs. I'm not sure exactly why. ADB has not explained why, but I'm willing to bet that is the cause. Now, this is that they explain. They say why they are the price being increased. They don't charge a percentage of the price for the ships. They charge a flat rate amount above the price Shapeways gives them. Out of that, they pay Sculptors, Paramount, and PayPal fees. Shapeways charges them, and Franz Joseph wins one of their ships, which is interesting. I never knew that they had to pay licensing fee to Franz Joseph. All what is left that goes to the companies, and they honestly can't absorb the price increase that Shapeways is charging without basically not paying the sculptors anything, which I'm sure no one wants to see that because they want sculptors to get paid so that they'll be encouraged to actually create more minis. And in that case, ADB is currently strongly advising their customers, to purchase any older ships that you want before 2019. They don't know exactly when the price will increase will take effect, but they suspect that it's going to be January 1st, 2019 at 12:01 a.m. in the Netherlands. The prices on the old ships will jump to new levels. That's when they think that will happen. This will hit ships that are under $10 in versatile plastic the hardest. So keep that in mind. If you place an order that includes new ships, we have been advised that to get the old shipping times, you will need to pay for priority processing. Do carefully consider your order if you decide to pay for that, as the entire order will be subject to a 30% increase. Do some calculating and consider splitting your order into two if you're ordering older ships, i.e. you don't want to pay the higher price. They are already being processed at the new priority order, and there's no need to pay 30% more for what you're already getting, i.e. for the old ships. If you purchase the old ships, you won't get the 30% increase. Now, I've not at least for the moment, I'm assuming that, right. As of January 1st, they're saying that even the older ships will have a higher cost. Moving on to other news from ADB. Steve Cole was busy spending time with Leanna and managing Shapeways projects. Obviously, he's been by Leanna's side to help her with her physical therapy and all that from the surgery. Steve Patrick was busy, of course, with SAB updates and the Grown Master Starship book. Gene was busy managing Facebook, also uploading the ships to Shapeways. Because today is the first, they actually have some new mini releases. They have Gene calls it a mini release because there's only 19 ships. And even those, overall, it's a 19 that includes two different sizes. So it's a Fed Classic Heavy War Destroyer, the Federation new Heavy War Destroyer, the Romulan Seahawk A Frigate, and the Omni size Space Dragon Young Female, Fed Classic War Destroyer Scout, and of course the Federation War Destroyer Scout, the newer one. The Wynn Xini Belt War Destroyer, the Tholian Heavy Command Cruiser, the Laren Lioness Heavy Cruiser, the LDR Lioness Heavy Cruiser, big surprise, Laren Refitted Lioness Heavy Cruiser, and the Zinti Escort Frigate. Those are the ships with different sizes for, both sizes for all of them, except for the both the 3788 and 3125 sizes for all but the LDR Lioness Heavy Cruiser and the Laren Refitted Lioness Heavy Cruiser. The LDR only comes in the 3125 size, and the Laren one I just mentioned is only in the 3788. Moving forward to the SFB Online tournaments. On the SFB Online tournaments, we have the Masters Tournament. All of the range one is done except for one game, and of course, it's my game. I got a bye. Did I get a bye or did I defeat my opponent? I forget which one. It's been a while. I didn't look. To be honest, I'm sorry. But all I know is I'm waiting in round two. I've been waiting in round two for months, and I want to have the round one players get done the last game, so I can play. And there's only two games that actually have been played, and there have been no additional games that have been done. When it comes to Rat 48, run by Ron Bryn Mawr, there's only one game completed around three, and we're stuck there at the moment. Moving onward and forward to the library, because no progress. And what I need to do is sit down and just review everything there. The complete conversions have not changed. It's still 24-26. And that leaves the percentage complete to 72.8%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's me and Dave. And then this is a great disappointment. I was hoping to have a few others to join us this evening, but it is what it is, and we'll move forward from that. My guess is Russ will probably join us later, maybe just kind of hang out for a while before he goes to bed. That's what's happened in the past few times that Russ has shown up, just because of, I think he gets right off of work, and that's when we actually get to see his lovely chats. Kiss tickets on sale tomorrow. Yeah, Dave, that would be great. I've never actually seen Kiss. I bought a lot of their albums or when I was younger. I have not actually listened to Kiss for a long time, with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley. I forgot the other two. I forgot about the drummer. And I think there was another guitar player. No. Gene Simmons Well, he was one of the guitar players and also the voice. Of course, Paul Stanley played the guitar. Jeez. Dave, that's nuts. They're saying he's seen them on tour, every tour ever since 1987. That's a lot of tours. But anyhow, how's the football game going on for this evening? I figured you've been keeping an eye on it, because you usually do. I forget who's playing tonight. I'm pretty sure it's not the Ravens, in which case I probably won't care that much, though. 49ers, Raiders. Okay, 49ers are almost halftime. 49ers are beating 14-3 over the Raiders. Awesome. Okay, well, this evening is actually going to be a relatively interesting evening tonight, just because of I'm hoping that this whole, what I plan on doing, works out. It should. It's mainly what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be switching around to different applications on the actual YouTube stream, live stream, so that it's a little more visual in nature, not just me chatting, but people will get to see some of the tools that I've actually am using to do what I am doing. Which actually reminds me one thing I need to do, which is I forgot to bring up a copy of the online client. So let me do that now. So that what can happen is that, let me just bring it up. Okay, cool. And I'm going to log in. This might be the biggest mistake I've done. We'll just have to wait and see. Okay, time to get the show on the road. Well, tonight, the main topic for this evening is actually learning SMB using the online client. And the main reason I wanted to bring up this subject was just because I want to give a picture of what has been going on. I got inspiration from this past week. On this past Tuesday night, I had the wonderful opportunity to actually do some beginning teaching of SFB using the online client to a pretty much a newcomer. This guy's name is Justin. He's actually on Discord, and I'm planning on doing another session on Tuesday. What I'm probably do on next Tuesday is I'm actually going to review what we did this past Tuesday and then continue on, because there are certain things I hit most of the major aspects of SFB without. Now, here was the crazy thing. This is a Tim Sheehy situation. For those unfamiliar with the one, the only, the Tim Sheehy is this. Tim Sheehy is one of those rare individuals that did something which most people would never have even tried to do. Just because it's a game. You read the rules, right? Tim Sheehy learned how to play SFB without actually having a copy of the rules. What he would do, he's played quite a few games without actually having a copy of the rules. He would learn. People would tell him, you can't do that. It's not in the rules. Obviously, he trusted these individuals, and for good reason, because Lord knows if somebody was watching Tim Sheehy and this person play and they said something wrong, they would correct them and say, no, you are wrong. So there was no reason for Tim Sheehy not to believe them about the rules and about what was illegal, what was legal. But that's how he learned. He learned actually by playing without actually having a copy of the rules, which is an interesting idea overall. So what I did was mostly it's kind of half learning session, half demo, if you think about it that way. Because in a demo situation, which I haven't done for a while, but I used to do quite often at Origins, I do like Federation Commander, I would do that, and actually also do some SFB. SFB? I think I did SFB one time. The big problem, no, actually, I've done SIP multiple times. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did SIP multiple times because it's relatively easy to teach as a quick demo. And that, you know, because overall, as I've mentioned multiple times, SFB, if you boiled it down, you could probably print it out. You can write out the rules, the basic rules. We're not talking about all the various interactions, all various things that you can do, and make sure that you have the rules that actually apply to that. So, hold on, give me a second. I'm back. Had to let my cat out. That should stop the interruptions for this evening. Now, basically, if you wrote them all down, I think on 3 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper with like 12-point font, maybe 11, you could write out all of the rules, all the basic rules, so that a person, if you give them the rules, they could understand it. I really feel like you could do that for the basics, because a lot of the basics are relatively simple. For example, plasma torpedoes. There's assuming that you can read a chart. Assuming you can read a chart, you can actually simplify your understanding of it. After you know, okay, for basically give a person an arming chart for plasma. Simplest thing in the world. It currently does not exist. I forget if it does or does not exist. Yeah, I don't think it actually an actual arming chart exists. But you know, they have the different kind of, they have armings. They tell you what it would cost for each one. But you can do that. An arming chart, you know, to me, that's an appendix. That's not the rules. That's an appendix. That's a table. You can actually create an appendix, a table, that shows, okay, here is what it costs to charge. Now, that will tell you how to actually arm a plasma torpedo. And you can actually write an exception that, okay, if you want to do a fast load F takes 2 turns, and then that's part of the chart. You have fast load F 2-2, and then you put in parentheses 2 reserve power. And that's all it is. And so that'd be relatively simple. And to launch it, okay, you launch it, you use the arcs to launch it. Now, when you launch it, you know, then you just follow the other chart. Okay, when it actually hits, you know, the most complicated part about the rules in that case is just going to be the seeking weapon movement rules. That's going to be the most complicated part, and even that is relatively simple. That is, the seeking weapon must always move closer to the target. The only time it does not have to do that is if the target is out of the FA arc, in which case then you can hit it. You can hit the seeking weapon to bring it back into arc. That would take not that many lines. This is what I'm talking about. SFB overall can be considered a very simple game. The rules are relatively simple. What really complicates things is all of those little itty bitty. Okay, how does an ESG? What happens when a drone hits an ESG? That's not really the complicated part. When an object hits an ESG, it gets complicated when you have a drone, a shuttle, and a ship all hitting the sea at the same time. That's when the rules get complicated. And I think you will agree with me on that. That's why the rule book for SFB is so large. Because those situations have to be written in stone. Why? Because of the history of SFB. And I'm pretty sure I went over it, but I'm going to do a real quick summary of it. When the Pocket Edition was created, Steve Cole had a certain understanding of what the rules meant because, like anything else, anything you create, you understand what it means because you create it, so you know what you had in mind. But it's actually the translation of actually having someone actually understand it is what's the gotcha. So when people all got the copy of the rules, they all over the country, they're all little groups. Oh, let's learn this new game. It's based on Star Trek. Yeah, let's do it. They were really excited. They understood, okay, well, this rule, okay, what does that mean? Okay, that means this. And they came up with a understanding of the rule. And then there's going to be a convention. Oh, they're going to play Starfleet battles. Let's all play. Now, given that, then they run into rules problems because this group over here and this group over here have different understandings of some of the rules. And when they came together, there'd be a conflict. And then who was there to resolve the conflict? Well, Steve Cole. Well, when he was at the convention, you know, if he wasn't at the convention, Lord knows, you just have to go by what the judge's understanding of the rule was, which could be one of those two groups or from a different group altogether, in which case it would be totally different understanding. So that's why there are so many rules. As I said, it takes into consideration all those different things. So when I was teaching this guy Justin, he was actually a demo account, which was simple enough because as it is, as I told Justin, when you start to learn the rules, number one, do not. I know everybody wants to play the Fed. Do not play the Fed. The hard part about playing the Fed is it's a two-turn army weapon. This complicates things greatly. You want something that's a single-turn army weapon. It simplifies the learning experience greatly. Why? Because of you just have to decide at the beginning of the turn what you're going to do. Will you, one, not charge your disruptor? A disruptor, you have four of them. Number two, if you decide that you don't want, that you actually do want to charge, okay, do you want to do standard or overload? So you can do one of those three options. Don't charge. Charge the standard, start with overload. Now, I know some people out there who know SFB are going screaming, what happened about reserve power? Ignore it. When you're learning the whole idea of reserve power, that gets complicated. Because it only happens in certain situations. And so to start off with, you don't talk about reserve power. Mm-hmm. So now, I did teach Justin about some reserve power, a little bit about reserve power, in that I told him he could use reserve power to do a specific reinforcement on a shield. He can do that, or if he wants to, the battery power that he has, he doesn't have to use it as a reserve power. If he wants to, he could just use up all the batteries. And just one turn, he has five extra points of energy. That if he wants to do that, he can do that. That's fine. That's his option. That's what he, if he wants to do, he can do. obviously, that's why I didn't really go into reserve power that much until like the second turn. First turn, that was the longest turn, because before we even got to actually moving, the first thing we had to do, we had to go through energy allocation. Now, fortunately, with energy allocation, when you're using the online client, it makes things much simpler. Let me just do this real quick. Because I'm going to do this by myself, I'm not going to... Okay. Let's go. Okay, let's do that. Now let me switch on. Let's see if I can do this. I'm hoping. Okay. Oh, this. Now what I want to do is I want to switch this to be here. Okay, so now I'm sharing the board. This is simpler than trying to share my whole desktop. So let's just add a piece here. So we have something. I'm just gonna make something simple. That's just as in D. Just so I can show you. Okay. Okay, like that, because all I want to do is show you this. We went to the EA, we said start turn, did a start turn. Okay, and what I did was I went through all of these a little bit at a time, even went to the degree where I explained, okay, we have life support for one, active fire control. I did not give him an option to say, I told him, okay, to actually have active fire control, you have to charge it. And I didn't even mention life support. I said, you put one into life support. I didn't tell him that you cannot, if you want to, you cannot charge life support. The most part, you can't do that. The only time you ever want, if I recall correctly, life support, you must charge. You must put 1 point of energy into it. The only time you do not have to do that is if you're crippled. And then I went through here, talked about charging phasers, that the phasers have capacitors. Went through the disruptors. I talked about the different charging levels, basically 0, 2, 2, and 4, off, standard to overloaded. Talked to them about actually active fire, shields. And the difference between regular shields and minimum shields. I also mentioned that probably you will never, ever, ever do minimum shields. I described the situation on that. Then I also talked about general reinforcement versus specific reinforcement. This is really critical when you're describing reinforcement at all, because of general reinforcement is 2-for-1. I say 2-for-1. That's almost a bad way of describing it, just for the plain simple reason that 2-for-1, usually people mean, I get twice as much as I pay. No, it's actually, in this case, you pay two points of energy and you get one point of reinforcement. And I described that how it blocks the energy. I skipped over movement. I talked about HET just a little bit. Also talked about tractors and transporters. Tractors, which of course everyone knows that you can use them to tractor things. And then of course, if you're trying to tractor a ship, you can actually allocate negative tractor to fight that. And also I talked about, I mentioned probe. Also transporters, I mentioned how in tournament play, there's only one way of using them. That's in hit and run raids, and I talked about that a little bit. I didn't go through the whole process because of this is the learning. And Lord knows it took us over an hour to go through just getting through the EA. And then shuttles, you know, the different things you can do with shuttles. And then also I showed, you know, here's your phaser capacitor. I mean, and this is the end of the phaser capacitor. So that, and I also mentioned that when you fire it, you will see the fire capacitor used will actually keep on decreasing until it's all used up. So I'm going to do this real quick. Just give me... There it goes. That's weird. Don't ask me. Okay, that's 17 hours. Fortunately, since we're using the online client, you can see the number of power used and then the number of power left. Okay, the one thing I did do is I mentioned mid-turn speed change, but I said we are not going to do them the first turn, which we didn't. The first turn, I said, you're going speed 15. I'm going speed 15. That's it. So, you know, I think I did this like that. And I told him to allocate. He told me how much minute he had left over. And allocated. And I said, let's not worry about special shuttles. We already have one because we're both, I was playing Xenny, he was playing Klingon. We both have a scatter pack. I had not gone into scatter packs yet with him. I just described what they are. I had not described how to use them. I had not talked about certain aspects, but, you know, did that, said, okay, now Smith, EA, and this. Now, there's one thing that I realized I should have done. There's one thing that currently I'm completely encouraging people with SFB Online to do, which is to join our Discord server. Because on the Discord server, there's some wonderful things, wonderful aspects to it. The number one thing that the Discord server does, okay, let me, what it does is, if you look over here, you can, well, at the moment there's general, that's what we actually used for a voice chat. But you know, you can create additional voice rooms. But you know, as you can see here, there's a little discussion here with actually Matrix, that's Justin, and Ren is Carol, the call sign's Carol. For that, so you can see all these people. You know, they got people online, so you can private, you can PM them, which is cool. This is actually SFB Dramatic Campaign. Actually, is one created. I forget who runs this one. I forget at the moment, but they created, and I'm still part of it. But more importantly, I'm trying to have people join this so that we can actually have a community and they can talk and actually have some nice discussions. Not, you know, really deep SFB discussions yet, but we've had mainly Justin been talking with people, including me, you know, me on Friends Games. We got Carol and also Neon had posted too up here. And the great thing about Discord is that if I could close this app right now and go back in, it would still have the history of the chats. That is much better than the online client because of, if you switch back, if you go here, let me just, there. This chat here, after I close this room, after I exit this game on SFB Online, all of that chat gone. If I would switch over to, give me a sec here. Over here, and you'll see the actual chat room. And this chat room there, okay. Don't mind me, I'm right now trying to get to that. That's the one thing with over here. Okay. So here, you know, looks like they're going to try to go for another game. And he wants to use Discord so they can talk, which I find very, very useful. Have the ability to actually talk to them, I could talk to Justin. We could talk things out. Makes it a lot easier than typing. Now, obviously, here's the one thing I've always been about when it comes to voice chat and integrating that into the server. But still, I keep on coming back to, you know, sooner or later, which is either linking up the online client here with like a Discord or not TeamViewer, I forget what it's called. There's different voice chats that are available, but Discord currently is our current flavor du jour. And I really can liking Discord, and I feel like it is the best thing for us. But anyhow, the issue obviously is that there is no record. Unless you're actually recording your conversation, which you can do. Obviously, in some states, you kind of, if you're going to do that, you have to warn people ahead of time. I think like California is a two-party state, meaning that both parties have to be agreed to be recorded. Some of them aren't that way. But anyhow, so there's no record. So if someone says something, there's no actual record. If you type everything, then there is a record. There's no record on my server, on the SAP Online server, but there is a record locally on the person's hard drive. So that's why you would see that. But, you know, as is, they're starting up. I don't plan on joining the room because I'm just going to go back to what I was doing. Okay, let me switch back here. That's always nice. Here, and I'll switch to don't mind me, and I'll switch back to TalkShoe at the moment. So we have, we'll use the online client there to do that. Now I had to teach him about, of course, actually I do have it here. So let me bring back, I'm going to, for those on YouTube Live, just give me a sec. I'm going to be going back to this. This is the room. This is SSD. So what I had to talk about was this chart here, which is a turn mode chart. So, you know, depending upon your speed, you have to go forward those many hexes. Also, I had to talk. One of the major things I had to talk about was this guy, which is, of course, with anyone who's played SFB knows what this is. This is the impulse chart. The impulse chart defines when a ship moves. The whole idea, one of the great, great things that the SFB has compared to a game like Silent Death or a game like X-Wing, because actually I just happened to have the opportunity. It was recommended to me by a YouTube listener that I actually record a game and then add commentary. Or even better yet, if I could basically watch a game and basically be a commenter while the game's going on. Now, I've never done that before. That's why, at least my first, the tough part about doing that is going to be that after I do all the video, then I have to watch it. And after I watch it, then I have to know what's going to happen and then add comments, have it be a commentator at that point. So this is, of course, the impulse chart. The impulse chart defines how you move. And the whole thing with SFB is the great thing, which was created for SFB, is what's called proportional movement. To me, this is one of the greatest inventions when it comes to gameplay. The reason why I think it's one of the greatest inventions when it comes to gameplay is that it attempts to simulate speed. The whole concept of speed. Not movement, speed. Because of, if you play Silent Death or one of these, or X-Wing is a, I'm going to go back to X-Wing, because X-Wing was an excellent example, because I was watching it and I see how they do things. Which is, okay, you turn and you move. Depending upon what kind of ship you're flying, you can go a certain distance. So every turn, what do? You would then, I didn't quite understand that part of it, which is who got to move first. I think it looked like they took turns going back and forth. But, you would use these little coin things to record what you're going to be doing. And then after it's all said and done, you flip and say, hey, this is what I plan on doing. And then you can turn and move a certain number, a certain distance. I was going to say hexes. I keep wanting to say hexes, but it's not hex based. It's miniatures. So it's hexless. So after that, you move about 3 inches. In SFB, you wouldn't move 3 inches. What you would do is you would move half an inch. Or you might move a half an inch or not. Depends upon your speed. And what happens is a turn is broken up into these impulses so that depending upon your speed, you move more often or less often. It's one of those things I love to talk about, which is if you have two ships that are, or let's just say two cars, it's easiest. They're both starting at the starting line of a race. One instantly goes 6 miles an hour. Another one goes instantly 12 miles an hour. Now, it's not like in a short period of time, all of a sudden you're going to be 100 feet away. No. The person that's going to speed 12 miles an hour is going to slowly pull ahead of the person going 6. The distance is going to slowly get greater. Obviously, with 6 miles an hour, it's going to be quite quick in that. But the whole idea is that it's not a sudden thing. Because that's when with Silent Death, the whole idea is you had movement points, and each turn you used a certain number of movement points to either actually move a hex or turn. Because I think, if I recall correctly, it's been a while since I played Silent Death. You could use some of your movement points to actually turn. Now, if I recall correctly, that is the case for Star Mata. But That's a little different. That's a little different. It's more of a... what should we call it? I'm looking for the word, and this is awful. I'm sorry. That it's actually momentum based kind of thing, vector based, where you know you move so fast, and then if you move six more, now you're going from, if you go six the first turn, and you go six more, it's not you go six, you go 12. So you can gain speed. Now the whole problem is that you can get to a point where you can't turn. You don't have enough movement to actually turn your ship. I.e. you have to slow down just to turn your ship. Which is an interesting idea. It's not SFB, but it's an interesting idea. The whole thing with SFB, obviously, with turn modes, is that the faster you go, the longer it's going to take you to turn. You know? So that is quite cool. So you know, that's why I described the turn mode. Now, I took them through a turn. And when I took them through the turn, there wasn't, you know, basically, okay, I'm just trying to remember what I did, because I'm pretty sure what I did, I had him go straight, but he already had learned a little bit about the cadet and actually learned about side slips. I just remind him that side slip mode, like turn mode, is one. That means you have to go at least one straight ahead before you side slip. You know. And, you know, we've got a situation, you know, we're going to the rain. Got through everything. Then we got into the second turn. The second turn is when I actually got into midterm speed changes and have them allocate those. Oh, that's one thing I did do. I think I pretty much already did this. Okay. Let's just do this real fast. Which is, don't mind me, I'm gonna do this really quick. Get the 32 impulses. I missed one thing, which is announcing the speed, but that's fine. That's because I wanted to get to this so I can switch to the EA, go start a new turn. But what I did was I went into speed play and I talked to him about this and how, okay, notice, see that this is where the online client helps you with the rules. It's one of those opportunities. It does not tell you. And in theory, you can actually use a speed plot. Why? Because there might be a specific rule that allows you to do this. That's one thing that I did with SFB for the SFB portion of the online client. And that is, it does not try to basically keep you from doing something illegal. You can, it will warn you. But you can still do it. As in this one, it's like, and I told him, it's like, you can see the illegal speed plus. That means basically before speed impulse forward, that means you can't make a speed change. Don't mind me. Okay. I don't know why I'm having problems. It's weird. But basically, so that, you know, you can do speed four. Then next thing I showed him was down here, because you try to do a speed change later, then you'll see the same thing. It's illegal speed plot to do that, which is fine. Now, again, I showed the other thing, which is, okay, you can do a speed plot. I'm not sure. Excuse me. I'm not sure why I'm having problems with the client at the moment. It's just whacked. Okay. Maybe that's I need to do something like that. I don't know. But okay, you can do that. But then if we try to change speed here, notice also that it says change too quickly. And I told him that, oh, that's another rule, which is you cannot make another mid-turn speed change within 8 impulses of the last turn. Now, the one thing I did tell him was that you cannot, you know, according to the rules, you can't. I told him about the whole maximum speed increase. Because of the maximum speed increase, I just realized something. I'm sorry. Okay, give me a sec. I just realized I'm not sharing that window. Let me just bring that window up. There it is. Set speed plot. And you can see how the illegal speed plot, you know, says you're trying to change it too quickly. But I told him about this. I told him also about how the maximum speed increase. So if you're going speed 15, the maximum speed you can go is speed 30. Now, the client currently does not actually hold, doesn't even mention that that's illegal. In theory, I can do that. But obviously, I would not want to hold you to that because of there's always some minor glitches in the client. Basically, mainly it's rules that it does not understand or doesn't know about. You know, for example, this is illegal for this, but if you're using an X shift, it's not every 8, it's every 6. Now, I forget if I actually implemented the ability to know if your ship is an X ship. I'm pretty sure I do because it's one of those miscellaneous codes in the description portion of the ship. I'd have to double check. In which case, if it does notice it's an X ship, then it will say, okay, well, you can change mid-turn speed change every 6 impulses. You know, or if it's, I think if you're nimble, you can do the same thing. But, you know, and so forth. So it was, I went through the whole thing. So overall, you know, I gave him a good overview. Oh, I'm sorry. Just taking a moment to switch windows again. That's the one thing that makes it difficult to do when I'm doing this is I'm trying to switch windows because I don't want you to see my whole desktop because you'll get the junk is what you'll get. You get all the background stuff that I use for the podcast, which you really, in theory, don't want to see on a stream. It's not that I want to hide it. I just don't think it looks very good. Now, obviously, then we run into the issues like I just had where I was talking about the speed plot and you guys couldn't see it. I apologize for that. But anyhow, so yeah, in theory, Nimbles, thank you, SB Attic, that, you know, yeah, I kind of need a multi-monitor setup. I don't know if I actually can run one. Because I'm using a laptop, believe it or not. Actually, I could. I just have to take my laptop out of clamshell mode. Which would be... Yeah, I could actually do it with that, I guess. The other option is actually... That's the only option in that case. Would actually have all my podcasting stuff on the small monitor of the laptop and then use my big monitor for everything else. But anyhow, it's a little too too little, too late at this point. You know, if I would have thought about that, then I could have set it up. I would have to make some room in my office here. It's a small office. But I do have a door. That's why I can keep it relatively quiet in here. But anyhow, getting back to it. So, you know, we actually made it through, you know, all of turn one, made it through going through to turn two. You know, I actually let him have a lot more autonomy at that point. I let him I talked to him about the midterm speed change. I let him do that. You know, and one thing he mentioned was that, oh, you know, this is setting up a reminder. I was like, yeah, well, that's part of the client, is that it reminds you when you're about to do a midterm speed change. Because if you do the speed plot, it'll say, hey, you gotta announce the midterm speed change. So it's kind of a little alarm just warning you, hey, you gotta announce this. And so he announced it. Now, the one thing that I was thinking about this, and Discord actually allows this, which is actually the sharing of the screen. So I think that'd be a great idea to do some screen sharing. Now the only question would be then, who? Would I share my screen, or would it be better if he shared his screen? You know, my guess at this point would be if he shared his screen. Because if he shared his screen, then I could point out, oh, you know, your mouse, move it a little bit to the right, that, and click right there, click on right on that button. You know, so I can kind of guide him in the use of the client. Versus me showing my desktop, you know, sharing my screen so that he can watch me and go, okay, this is how you do it, you know. Understood. If I recall correctly, SAP Attic less. Understood that SAP Attic is just pointing out that most Discord users aren't tech savvy enough to actually use features like screen sharing. Actually, I was looking that up. The only big issue currently with screen sharing on Discord is that you have to get it to do a screen share, you first have to have video on. Which, that's the one thing that I'm glad about YouTube Live, and that is, if you set up right, which is basically set it up as a hangout, you can have it so that it doesn't require you to have a video camera, you know, and have to actually do a screen share. Had to look it up to do it, but I figured out how to do it. I've not looked at it deeper. I did a quick search today. I think it was like yesterday. Where I did some searching, I did some googling online, and found that, oh yeah, you can actually do screen sharing with Discord. So it's like, cool. That's one thing we probably should do. And Les might be right that it's a feature that's really difficult for newbies to use. Now, it's one thing I've not looked at lately, which is Skype. Because I know previously Skype let you do screen sharing, which was a great feature. Because I did that one time with Scott. Oh. Brolton. I know it was Scott. So that he could share his screen, and then I could talk him through what I wanted him to do. And I said, oh, no, don't do that. Do this, do this, this. It wasn't actually teaching. It was actually, we were trying to figure out an issue with the way he was developing the F&E portion of the client. So I finally figured out what he was doing. because text in an email just was not cutting it. So, in that case, you know, I think if Skype still allows screen sharing, I think that probably would be best, because I feel like that is Skype is the easiest when it comes to at least it was previously, it was for screen sharing, it was really simple. Obviously, if I want to share, another way of doing it is actually using Google Hangouts. But you know, no matter what, I think the voice aspect when it comes to teaching is critical. I think it's very important when you're trying to teach someone how to play SAP online using an online client. Now, one thing that we had to end our session after turn two. Actually, as of turn two, I kind of did something I'm not supposed to in a demo. I blew him up. Actually, I didn't quite blow him up. I blew away half of his ship. So, you know, and I already told him, I was like, Justin, I really shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, understood less. Less saying that his voice is good, but very good, but type very badly. And I can understand that. Unless, I'm not sure if you were here earlier, because with the new talk shoe and can't tell. And that is where I talked about voice is good, and really it makes it a lot more interactive in certain cases, especially in the learning experience. But when you're playing a game, recording, you know, the whole idea of recording how the game goes. Okay, so you probably were there. You have, with a chat room, you have log of what actually happened in and both in the chat and you know, all by itself. But if you try to split it between chat and voice, you don't know when the voice actually interacts with the chat. You know, yes, you can do a recording of your screen, you know, but in that case, you can actually record your voice as part of that, you know. But again, if you want to do that, you can do that, but you know, it's not exactly optimal, and Lord knows those video files can get pretty big. I thought about a while ago, which is the whole idea of doing quick recordings. The idea is you press a button, you record a message, done, and then it would send it. So then it's like kind of almost like a walkie-talkie. Yeah, walkie-talkie is the best way to describe it, because of unlike phones, what you would be doing is you would send a message. You could not hear me while I'm doing it, but I can't, well, more importantly, I can't hear you while I'm talking. That makes it more like a walkie-talkie than a phone. So I did some minor tests for it, and it worked. The problem is, for me, was that I tested it on the same machine that I was running it. Because the stream that I was recording, that I recorded, I'm not sure if that's the same format. If I would record it I'm running on a Mac. If I recorded it on a PC, would it record the same thing? And if I took what I recorded and then streamed it to a PC from a Mac, would it play? I don't know. I don't know what's being saved in that recording when it comes to the Java APIs. I don't. I feel pretty confident that it didn't convert it to like MP3, but I'm not sure what format it was. And if that's like an internal format of Java, and that's the way it records it, and so it's consistent, so if you just save the bytes and then send them someplace else, it would work. Don't know. So, in any case, so we ended in turn two. Now, the one thing that I'm going to have to check with the game tonight because of, as you saw, we actually, Justin, who is demo Matrix, I think, 3,000 something. But, you know, basically demo Matrix for short. He was going to play Carol. And I'm not sure how much more teaching he was going to get. I'm not sure what they were going to be learning. You know, so that's the bad aspect of having someone else jumping in. Is because of, I don't know, I can tell, I know where I left off with him. I'm not sure where he's going to go. Because what I was going to do is on Saturday, possibly Saturday, possibly Tuesday, depends upon if we can get together on Saturday, because my wife's going to be out of town. Therefore, since my wife was going to be out of town, I figured, if I spend the night playing SFB, I don't think she's going to complain because she's not here. So, given that, maybe we can get together. Now, I'm not sure where he's going to be. Because for all I know, when it comes to that, he will be, there's nothing else for me to teach him. We might just play a game, for all I know. Maybe Carol will teach him a lot more about the client and how the client works. Because there's so much of the client that I did not go over. Because I was mainly trying to teach him SFB and not how to use the online client. There are better ways of learning how to use the online client than have someone run you through it. I agree that I need to create more tutorials. One, because I already had a nice compliment from Carol. That's his call sign. At the moment, I don't know his real name off the top of my head. But he enjoyed me showing the tutorial on how to use a group selection. And I would love to record another quick tutorial on like a feature of the online client so that, people can learn a little bit here, a little bit here, these short little tutorials. For example, obviously, there's some people who know about it. I'm not sure everyone knows about it, but of course we have the range rings. That's one thing I probably should go talk about. Now, of course, the thing with the range rings is that the range rings, you can see them locally, but you also your opponent can see them too. So you can't use them to say, when the range ring gets, I'll set it to like a range ring of like 5 hexes. So you can see approximately what's 5 hexes around you. What's within the ring. But the problem is your opponent also will see it. So things like that, obviously the whole idea of when it comes to view info, when it comes to Orion, one of the things that happens is that it will spit out the option mounts. So you can actually see what is the option mount selected by an Orion. Now, it's going to have the abbreviations, and I actually have to double check, but I don't think I actually have a chart, which if I don't, I really should have a chart of what those mean. Most people who play tournaments know what those mean. So that's because the abbreviations are the abbreviations that are used to delineate what a ship has on the actual tournament webpage. So, things like that. So that's one thing I will definitely need to work on in the future, which is recording some short tutorials. And have it so that people can just visit and just view them, I got some longer ones, which I did, but that probably will not go there. I know that one thing I was thinking about doing and I have not done yet, which is FedCom. Basically, using the FedCom, the online FedCom portion of the online client to teach Federation how to play Federation Commander. Because of we already have first missions out there. It's for free. And you actually can play Federation Commander using the first missions, that rule book. I actually have to, I'd have to read it myself to find out what is actually in first missions, because it's been a while. Now, the one thing I wanted to do is actually create the robot player, but I haven't had time to do that. I'm not sure when I'll have time to do that. I think that's, the robot player is important, but not critical. There's other things that are more critical. Okay, well, I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for this evening. I hope everybody enjoyed me talking about the online, you know, learning about SFB using the online client, you know, the different things that I did when it comes to the client itself, you know, and things, pieces that I talked about. Now, as I mentioned, the one thing about all of what I did, it was basically teaching the SFB rules without the person actually owning a copy of SFB, which you can do. As I mentioned earlier, you know, it's learning the Tim Sheehy way, which is no rules, just interacting with other players playing the game. Obviously, you have to trust that the player you're playing against, when he says, oh, that's against the rules, that, they should tell you the truth, because they don't tell you the truth. One of these times, if you don't tell them the truth, what happens? You'll get nabbed, because they'll know otherwise, because they'll play against someone else. But anyhow, assuming that you can have a trust of the person telling you the rules, keep on playing the game. The number of games you play, you learn more and more rules. Okay, he does this. Oh, you can't do that. It's illegal. And then the person will explain why that's illegal and things like that. So it is possible, but as I said, it was more, it's a learning / demo kind of game. I'm not sure how much that Justin actually absorbed. I'm not sure how much Justin actually remembers. Obviously, this Saturday or this Tuesday, whichever nights we're actually able to get together, we will talk about that and let's see how much he does remember. Because obviously he was going to do some playing tonight, so that hopefully will freshen his mind. I'm hoping that Carol will reinforce what I've already been teaching about and the rules that I've told him in the most basic manner. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.